in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with former Chelsea star Didier Drogba. The 42-year-old Drogba has applied to become president of the Ivory Coast Football Federation. African football fans remember Drogba as one of the continent's greatest players. He was named African Footballer of the Year in 2006 and 2009, and Drogba was the longtime captain of the Ivory Coast national team, the Elephants, putting his name in the record books as the team's all-time leading scorer with 65 goals. In addition, Didier Drogba scored 104 goals for Chelsea, the most by an African player in the widely watched English Premier League. Now, Drogba is trying to be elected to the top administrative position in Ivory Coast football. Joining us now with a report on his chances in the Federation elections next month is Yao Ofusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Goals, finishing, nerves of steel, leadership on the pitch, and a true winner. Didier Drogba's pedigree as a player speaks for itself. He was a tireless worker who wanted perfection. He struck fear into defenders, was a king in front of goal, and a huge cult hero at Chelsea and Marseille, where he played for a year. These days, he is away from the running, all the noise and the bright lights. The Ivorian legend is pursuing something different. On the 1st of August, the streets of Abidjan were filled to the rafters of people watching on and cheering as he drove his way to submit his candidacy documents to contest in next month's Ivory Coast Football Federation presidential election. But what went into the thinking of him wanting to become president of the federation? Ivorian football journalist Ebrin Noel Brew explains.
Ivorian president of, FIFA, the Federation of Football, because he wants to help. He wants to help out because the teams, the local teams are suffering. They don't have sponsors, you know. The local players, sometimes when they have injuries, when they have food problems, nobody cares. So it's kind of help from him. He wants to help the Ivorian team, Ivorian football grow. Yeah. But the problem is that he's right now fighting a lot of interest.
Football elections are one of the trickiest to participate in. They defy popularity. Drogba has the popularity, but can he win? Ebrin Brew says the former Ivory Coast captain will have to move the needle.
As somebody who likes Didier Drogba, because I know that if he comes on power, if he becomes the president, he will change a lot of things. As a person, I can say he might win, but as a critical mind, as somebody who is observing and analyzing, issues, I think he might not win. No, he will not win. He will not win because it's too much tricky.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's a hard business.
The ex-Chelsea star is one of four candidates seeking to contest for the top job on the 5th of September, 2020. The former African Footballer of the Year needs nominations from three of the 14 League One clubs and two from the lower divisions. Drogba must also have the endorsement of any of five special interest groups, coaches, doctors, current and former players, and referees. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Ofusu-Larbi. Over to you, Sunny, in Washington.
Thanks, Yao. And while Didier Drogba is best known for his days at Chelsea, he did give football fans in North America a chance to see him score goals in the twilight of his playing career. Drogba scored 23 goals in two seasons for Major League Soccer's Montreal Impact. And he also played two seasons for Phoenix Rising FC, a second division American soccer club, scoring 17 goals. The Nigeria Women Football League says it's working hard to get a sponsor. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the league's head of media Dapo Sotominu.
We've had promises upon promises from Nigeria Football Federation to get a befitting sponsorship for women's for the Women's League in Nigeria. But this has not actually materialized over the years. We are not too happy about that. And the leadership of the Nigerian Women's Football League, headed by Shafaluri, has actually been making, you know, moves, marketing moves, a lot of strategies to ensure we get sponsorship for the Women's League. And I think, you know, we are making progress, but we are not there yet. But definitely, we shall get there, you know, someday. After a soft drink company withdrew his sponsorship from women's football far back as 14 years ago, we've not actually had any form of sponsorship for women's, you know, for women's football in Nigeria. And it is not a good development. And looking at what is happening across the world today, where the women's, you know, football is, you know, is taking so much, you know, dominance in the space of the Federation of International Football Association. We are moving very, very fast. The pace is moving fast. And I want to assure you that in September, from the date that will be, you know, scheduled by the NWFL, the Nigerian Women Premier League will commence. The same thing, you know, the time will also be drawn for the professional league, and also a timetable for the women's, you know, amateur league. We have 3 tiers of league in Nigeria, and over the years, since the emergence of Aisha Faludi as the chairperson of the Nigerian Football Women's Football League, we've not actually failed to, you know, play in these 3 tiers. We are also getting help from the sport minister, aside from the board of the Nigerian Football Federation. They are making moves for us, and we are just, you know, hoping to get good news from them so that sponsorship in terms of women's football in Nigeria will be, you know, something to smile home about.
What should be done to attract funding for women's football in Nigeria?
The Women's League in Nigeria is you know, the best in is the best in Africa. It is the best, you know, in terms of players' quality, in terms of management, and in everything there is. It has been, we have been doing very well in terms of reportage coverage of the league. It has actually been very, very wonderful. And the NWFL, we are doing our best to keep it that way. We've done everything, you know, we can actually do in rebranding, brand marketing, you know, getting partnership for the league, which coming from other international, you know, leagues like the La Liga Women's Department. We have a partnership with them already, and this is actually boosting the standard of the league in Nigeria and everything, you know, that is supposed to be in terms of development. All these are happening, and we can see our players move abroad. They sign lucrative, you know, deals in Europe every year, Europe and other parts of the world, and they are helping their various clubs to win titles. You could actually see, you know, and also in terms of quality also, out of 11 editions of the African Women, you know, Football of the Year, and Nigeria has actually won, you know, several times. We have Cynthia Owak, she has won the award twice. Mercy Akide Udo has actually won once. Then Perpetua Nkocha has won 4 times. The same thing with Aziza Toshola. She has actually won 4 times. So in terms of quality and other things to attract sponsorship, the Nigerian Women League are actually doing our best. But it seems, you know, we've not been able to get results, but we keep pushing. You don't let go when you're supposed to keep pushing, and you know that, you know, in a very short time, you are going to hit the bull's eye.
Do you think sponsors will get their gain if they invest in women football?
Definitely they will get their gain. You will get, when you invest, especially in Nigeria, there is no way you will not get, you know, your sponsorship award. You definitely get your sponsorship award. And in terms of branding, in terms of management also, they will get, the mileage will always be there. And I'm sure no sponsor will have any cost to regret. So we are looking at it very closely, and I'm sure in a very short time, the issue of funding will be a thing of, you know, difficult funding will be a thing of past for Nigeria's Women's Football League.
That's Dapo Sotominu, head of media for Nigeria Women Football League. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings from Dapo Sotominu. I'm the director of media, Nigerian Women Football League. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, Douglas Mpuga will have a package of rugby, world athletics, and African football news for us.
Zambia's Football Association has cancelled the domestic league following a spike in COVID-19 cases. The association's general secretary, Adrian Kashala, told the media the league would end on August 6th, by which time all teams would have played 27 rounds of matches. The Zambian Football League resumed 2 weeks ago after it was prematurely suspended in March over concerns about the coronavirus pandemic. Two sides, Forest Rangers and NAPSA Stars, have reported the highest number of COVID-19 cases, with 28 and 19 cases respectively. Zambian Football Association has decided that 2020-2021 season will now start on October 17th. Zambia has so far confirmed 5,555 cases with 41 deaths. Meanwhile, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, next presidential elections are scheduled to take place in March 2021, 4 years after the current president, Ahmed, stunningly dethroned long-standing ruler Issa Hayatou. But now the Malagasy says he's undecided about running for a second term in office next year. Ahmed, the subject of an ongoing FIFA ethics probe, says he's likely to decide later on and only after seeking guidance from colleagues, according to press reports. The former Madagascar FA head announced his 2017 candidacy 4 months before elections and just a week before the deadline. On a sad note, Cameroon legend Steven Tatto died on Friday in Yaounde after a short illness. He was 57 years old. Tatto, one of the greatest Cameroonian players of all time, was until his death a staff at the Cameroonian Football Federation. He was the captain of the famous class of 1990 that made global headlines at the 1990 FIFA World Cup in Italy before crashing out at the quarterfinals, the farthest by any African team at the time. The right back also captained the Lions at the 1994 FIFA World Cup in the USA. During his career, Cameroon won the Africa Cup of Nations in 1998 in Morocco. In rugby, the Dubai and Cape Town rounds of the 2021 Rugby World Sevens, due to take place in November and December 2020, will not take place because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Men's and women's events had been scheduled for November 26th, 28th, and December 4th to 6th, 2020, respectively. World Rugby has set up a working group to evaluate the rest of the season. New Zealand were awarded men's and women's titles for 2020, having led the standings when the suspension came. Dubai has staged the Sevens event every year since the inaugural tournament in 1970. In athletics, the World Athletics says it will expel the Russian Federation as a member if it does not pay an outstanding fine and costs before August 15th. A payment of just over $6 million for anti-doping breaches was due by July 1st. But Russian Sports Minister Oleg Matysin is reported saying the payment will be made before mid-August. Russia's Athletics Federation was suspended in 2015 after a report commissioned by the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, found evidence of mass doping among track and field athletes. Any expulsion, however, would have to be approved by the World Athletics Congress.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Nnamdi Hollywood Mowata has been taking a look at some of the latest developments in professional boxing. Namdi says two former world champions, both over the age of 50, will fight next month in a special 8-round exhibition bout in Southern California.
They call it the frontline battle, the baddest man on the planet, Iron Mike Tyson against Roy Jones. That's scheduled for the 12th of September right here in Carson City at the Dignity Health Arena. That is where the LA Galaxy play their soccer games. It's a fight that a lot of folks in the fight game are really, really looking forward to, because one, these two legends are icons, you know. They are power punchers. They can destroy. They can make good fights. Both combined, they have 105 years old. These are two geezers, are old geezers. Tyson is 54. Roy Jones is 51. So we're interested to see what they have left in the tank come September 12th. It's a beautiful venue, and the Boxing Commission has rules that will apply to this fight. First, they're both going to use 12-ounce gloves. Second, they are going to fight with no headgears, and there will be no judges. And at the end of the fight, we may not have a winner. And both have agreed to go into the fight, not pressing for the knockouts.
Namdi, break down the numbers for this fight. What are Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. getting paid? But why don't you start with the pay-per-view projections?
Sonny, the pay-per-view projection for this fight, frontline battle, is pretty good, really. We are looking at more than $1 million. Because folks have been missing sports for a long time since the lockdown of COVID in March. We're looking at $1 million plus buy at least $70 per buy. So you're looking at more than $70 million for pay-per-view. When you throw in foreign TV rights, you're looking at close to another $30 to $40 million. So this fight can generate more than $100 million for an exhibition that is not going to be a real fight. Not only that, the guarantee for each fighter, Roy Jones guaranteed $10 million for 8-round exhibition. Iron Mike Tyson is $15 million guaranteed. That's just on the front end. On the back end, if we see more than 2 million pay-per-view buys, which is still possible, you can tag on another $10 to $15 million. So there's a possibility for this 8-round exhibition, both guys can walk away with close to $25 million apiece, which is not a chicken change.
Definitely not chicken change, Namdi, but I'm a little confused about whether this is an exhibition, a real fight. They're going to be using bigger gloves than usual. What kind of fight is this, Namdi?
It's funny. The fight is dubbed Frontline Battle. And when I looked at it and I laughed about it, because they both agreed there will be no knockout. It's going to be all just boxing, moving and holding and, you know, for 8 rounds. I'm a Nigerian. In Nigeria, we have something called shakara. Shakara is when you threaten somebody. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. RNG is when you both agree to do something that you both know that is not going to really happen. So that's why for me personally, this fight is happening in my backyard. That's why I call it shakara and RNG. RNG fight. The Boxing Commission is in on it. The Boxing Commission has already told the fans and everybody, this is an exhibition. Don't expect these guys to go in there and knock their head off. The Boxing Commission, the head of the Boxing Commission, already had a Zoom meeting between Iron Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. Everybody's agreed on everything. If there is a cut, the commission, as I said, the fight will be stopped, you know. So no judges, just a referee. Two guys will dance around for 8 rounds, and they may end up going home with $25 million apiece. And who is a loser, who's a winner, we will know September 12th right here in Carson, California.
Come on, Namdi. Let's be realistic. Why would fight fans want to shell out $70 to watch two boxers well past their prime, both over the age of 50, fight an 8-round exhibition?
Good question, Sonny. Why would fight fans pay $70 to watch two old geezers do an exhibition and walk away with all that money, because we have been starved since the lockdown of COVID-19. We have not seen any real good fight. What we've seen are just not your A-level fighters. And mind you, these are global stars, Iron Mike and Roy Jones. Roy Jones was a former WBA heavyweight champion. Remember that. Iron Mike, knockout artist. So we pay to see, because have agreed that there's going to be a knockout. What happens if Roy Jones goes into the round one and tags Iron Mike, and Iron Mike said, I thought we agreed for a fight that nobody's going to get knocked out, and Iron Mike explodes and then decides to make it a real fight. There's a chance that can happen, and that's why fight fans are paying to see if Iron Mike can get mad and explode and make it a real fight before the fight goes to the 8th round. But mind you, these guys are old. They may get tired after 4 rounds. That's why we expect to see a knockout, regardless of what was agreed upon before the fight.
Nnamdi, let's stick with the heavyweight division. Any updates on reigning world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua?
Sonny, good news for Anthony Joshua fans. You know, dealing with a leg injury. Anthony Joshua will start sparring next week in preparation for his fight against Kubrat Pulev. We don't have a date. The projection is for the fight to happen in November. The Deontay Wilder-Tyson Fury rubber match, the third fight, no date yet. The question is, why was the delay in having this date locked up? Because we're now in August, basically, and if there's no date for future fights, what's the problem? Well, Sonny, the problem is here. These guys, before COVID-19, these guys were guaranteed some huge amount of money. Take for an example, Anthony Joshua with The Zone, he gets nothing less than $35 million guaranteed per fight, you know. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, these guys were guaranteed big money by ESPN and Fox. COVID-19 came and knocked everything out of the window. Now, the networks went back to these fighters and said, okay, let's renegotiate the contract, because we don't have 100,000 people coming to the arena. We don't have no merchandise to sell. We don't have the casinos giving us money. Let's just renegotiate the contract so that we can take less money. The fighters are saying, no, we want what was written in the contract. So that's why, you know, we don't see any date for Anthony Joshua, Kubrat Pulev, or Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder, or Canelo, or Triple G. All these elite fighters who want to stick to the contract, regardless of what's going on with COVID-19. So we may not see any mega fight in 2020. Any mega fight we should look for in 2021, because the networks and the promoters cannot come up with the money. You cannot get blood from stone.
You cannot get blood from stone. I like that, Nnamdi. That's Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Finally, in professional golf, American Justin Thomas is back on top of the world rankings after winning a tournament Sunday in the southern U.S. city of Memphis, Tennessee. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Justin Thomas has fired a final round 65 to claim a come-from-behind three-shot victory at the WGC FedEx St. Jude Classic in Memphis. Back-to-back birdies at 15 and 16 secured the win as he recorded his third victory for the season and returned to the world number one ranking.
I really just played my own game. I drove the ball probably as good as I ever have the first 13 holes. Not so great the last four holes, but we got very, very lucky.
Brooks Koepka fell back into a four-way tie for second at 10 under with Phil Mickelson, Daniel Berger, and Tom Lewis, that after a final hole double bogey. It was the 13th career PGA Tour win for Thomas. I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. And that wraps up the August 4th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.